again.
Later mayor, sheriff. No, what was
he? Was first a sheriff, then later mayor of Detroit, and now he's a judge of the Court of Appeals. And the next fellow in that sub-rental group was Jim Brickley, whom we all knew, although he didn't go to U of D because he went up to St. Michael's in Toronto to study with the Bazillion Fathers. We got to know him quickly when he came out of college. Jim Brickley, of course, went from that practice to a membership in the Detroit Common Council, then the United States Attorney for the Eastern District of Michigan, then Lieutenant Governor, and now in the Michigan Supreme Court.
Do you know of any other law firm in the state that produced 3 Supreme Court justices in within 10 years?
I can't think of any, but it was a great law firm. As the description, of course, you're sensitive to all these names and these roles, but everybody in the law firm self-destructed because everybody got elected to public office. And there was an article written in the Detroit News by a female columnist whose name I forgot, and she claims to have coined the expression the Irish Mafia, which had reference to our law firm, and added to that Jerry Kavanaugh. Jerry was a contemporary of ours, but he was not in our law firm.
Well, you say he was a little behind you, wasn't he?
A little ahead of us.
Oh, was he?
My class was in the law school was 56. Jerry's was 54, I think. Mm-hmm. And Jerry was very much active in the Young Democrats at U of D, and none of us were active in any organized political party of any kind at all. And all of us, as the record shows, became more interested in judicial office, nonpartisan judicial office, than partisan office that Jerry was interested in.
Well, here you are in 1960, and they gave you a closet in this magnificent law firm, and what happened next?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing. I sat there and watched the ships go up and down the Detroit River, and nobody knocked on the door and said that they were desperate to have Jim Ryan represent them. These dear pals of mine who were the core of this firm had combed the neighborhoods to get all the law business they could while I was out in the West Coast with the Marine Corps. And my dear wife was teaching school. We had no children. After 2 years of sitting around, I made up my mind I was going to go back in the service. I love trying cases. I love the Navy. I love serving with the Marine Corps. And I came within a hair's breadth of returning after about a year and a half of sitting in the First National Building with no law business. But the Holy Spirit works in strange ways, and I, at the last minute, decided maybe I shouldn't do that. My roots were terribly deep here, really, in Wayne County, my family, ancestors. So I told these fellows that I loved the relationship, but we were better off as pals than business associates. The firm was self-destructing anyway. Tom Brennan was running for Congress. Dick Maher was running for the traffic court in Detroit. Waldron was Speaker of the House. Brickley was salivating at the prospect of running for Del Smith's seat in the Detroit Common Council. And so I went out to Redford Township and opened a small law office and ran for Justice of the Peace. I figured if I could get elected Justice of the Peace in Redford Township, I could probably live on the fees of the office while a law practice was building. The Redford Justice of the Peace was the biggest justice court in the state of Michigan in terms of the volume of its business, and it was, if not a full-time job, if one were elected to it, was darn close to it.
And this would have been what? 62?
63. So I did. I ran in 63. It was a partisan office in those days. Ran on the Republican ticket. All these personalities whose names I just mentioned, and all the friends I guess I ever had came out to Redford Township en masse and literally overwhelmed the local politicos with this campaign that we put together. It was the closest thing to the Crusades that I can think of looking back on it. And because of a convoluted filing process I won't bore you with, I defeated an incumbent Justice of the Peace in the primary, and then defeated a second incumbent Justice of the Peace in the runoff, and was elected in the spring of 63. I can recall Jim Brickley, who was then a member of the Common Council of the City of Detroit, wanted to help as we had helped him. And he wore sunglasses on a day that was gray and overcast in the late winter, going up and down the streets in Redford Township, knocking on doors, getting petition signatures, hoping nobody would recognize Councilman Brickley from Detroit. Dick Maher was a traffic court judge, and he was tacking up signs. So that, it worked. It was a very busy justice court. In those days, we were paid with fees in the justice system. So I served in the justice court from 63 to 66. And in 1966, there were vacancies, three new judgeships in the Wayne Circuit Court. And I thought that after having been a lawyer for 9 years, three of them as a really the equivalent of a municipal judge. It was such a busy justice court that perhaps I was ready to for what was a real intellectual challenge for the first time with the Wayne Circuit Bench. So I ran. The same maniac devotion that was invested in this justice of the peace race in Redford was mounted again in Detroit with the help of all the people I've named and dozens of other U of D friends and friends from grade school. Worked for 8 months, and we won in the Wayne Circuit race in the fall of 66, and that was the end of the law practice. As a justice of the peace, of course, I could practice law and did. I never liked it. I was never suited for the practice of law. I've made up my mind. I could never be happy. While I understand the philosophical distinction between a lawyer and his client and his cause, I could never bring myself to mount a vigorous attack for a cause that I didn't think was right. So I was happy to get out of the law practice.